It can simply no longer transfer its thoughts or mental images directly to the physical plane, and it can no longer experience the thoughts or mental images manifested on the physical plane or in physical matter directly either. This has, however, liberated it from the considerable burden of having to juggle with an organism made of a substance that is thousands of times more concentrated, and thereby correspondingly heavier, than spiritual substance. Hear the biblical curse in the sweat of thy brow, thou shalt eat thy bread, and the other curses upon sin come to pass. Hear the woman shall give birth to her children in pain. Hear the serpent must be fought, the serpent whose head shall be crushed by the seed or offspring of the woman, while the serpent shall crush the heel of the human being. Hear errors and their unpleasant effects, wars, illnesses and sufferings, are manifested. Here, as previously mentioned, the culmination of the dark contrast has its abode. These things cannot happen on the spiritual plane. There the light contrast is manifested. There we are in the home of all culminating happiness and bliss. There no one has to work in the sweat of his brow in order to maintain his existence. And there, painful childbirth is a thing of the past. There, in that wonderful spiritual world, matter automatically obeys the being's thoughts, wishes and will. It needs only to think of a thing and it happens, it needs only to give an order and it appears. Thought thus automatically obeys the being's wish and will or the impulses of energy that it sends out. And since the being learns to think logically during its physical existence, its manifestations of thought on the spiritual plane will thus be logical or illogical, perfect or imperfect according to the degree of perfection that it has acquired in its previous physical terrestrial lives. Chapter 32 Purgatory is an epoch of preparation for the experience of paradise. The basis for the being's life on the spiritual plane of existence after death is thus its absolute dream, that is, its longing to experience the highest ideal existence it can imagine. And the experience of this ideal existence or dream constitutes the living being's absolute, true paradise. But before the being can experience this ideal existence or enter this paradise after death and experience it visibly manifested here, it must go through the process of death, and possibly purgatory. As previously mentioned, purgatory is simply an epoch of preparation during which the senses through which the being experiences disappointments, sorrows, problems, bitterness, anger and hatred are put out of action. After this, the being can sense only light and joyous kinds of thought. Thus it cannot cause mental short circuits or short circuits of consciousness with other beings' kinds of thoughts or behavior, and it can now get on to the same wavelength as only beings in the same condition or the same paradise. The wavelength range of the being's consciousness will thus lie above all wavelength ranges of consciousness that can create animosity, antipathy, anger, jealousy, envy, sorrows, loss and disappointments. As its senses in paradise cannot register these kinds of thoughts or related ones, paradise can thus be nothing but a culminatory experience of sheer happiness and joy. If the opposite were the case, it would never experience a pure paradise or dream existence. The spiritual world would be just as characterized by war, accidents, sufferings, sorrows and problems as the physical world is. We must thus understand that the spiritual world constitutes a wavelength range that is far beyond the wavelength range of the physical world. The wavelength range of the former world is that of love and wisdom, while the wavelength range of the physical world is that of hatred and anger. This will perhaps be easier to understand when one becomes familiar with the fact that the spiritual world is actually a purely electrical world, indeed, is the very home of electricity. According to cosmic analyzers, electricity is the life force of the entire universe, it is the spirit of God Himself. But in the spiritual world, where this spirit or life force does not have to penetrate any physical matter and cannot therefore be used by the being here in the fields that it has not fully developed, the many short circuits in the form of the above mentioned kinds of thought, animosity, antipathy, anger and so on, cannot possibly occur. They constitute animal material of consciousness and become therefore increasingly unsuitable as material of consciousness for the living being, the more it grows and develops in the humane or human direction. The unfinished human being has thus two areas of consciousness: the animal area, which is its innate inheritance from its purely animal state, and its incipient human area, which grows or develops through the many short circuits that are generated between these two areas in its psyche or mentality. As these short circuits have in turn an influence on the being's physical behavior, they sometimes also cause this to short circuit with the behavior of its fellow beings, and war breaks out and spreads to the beings. And unhappy fates occur, with massacres and mutilation and the sorrows and problems connected with these, which can even end in suicide. In purgatory, the being is liberated from its ability to create and experience these unhappy states, through the set of senses involved being put out of action. Through this, the being is guaranteed that its spiritual existence between its physical lives, its paradise, becomes an experience of 100% mental light, a state of joy and happiness that it, as an unfinished human being, cannot possibly experience in its purest form on the physical plane of existence. With a liberation from its physical organism and its ensuing passage through purgatory, where it, as previously mentioned, has a certain part of its sensory range put out of action, its ability to experience life and create becomes considerably reduced. But the area of its consciousness from which it is liberated in paradise is its entire physical sphere of fate, where it had the opportunity to make mistakes and thereby bring misfortune and adversity upon itself, and to be burdened with the problems, troubles and sufferings that ensue from this. The being has thus been liberated from its entire unfinished field of consciousness, which can be finished or completed absolutely only on the physical plane. After this, its consciousness will contain only those fields whose evolution is finished or completed to such an extent that it, through these, can experience and create nothing but light and joy for others as well as for itself. Chapter 33, where reincarnation becomes superfluous and ceases. Here we begin to see the real divine principle that guarantees all living beings a paradisiacal existence beyond terrestrial, physical life. If the living beings cannot remain in this paradise but have to be reborn again on the physical plane, it is due exclusively to the fact that their evolution is not finished and that they have not reached the height of life experience and creative ability that the Godhead has planned for them. By being reborn again on the physical plane, the beings have the opportunity to evolve further, make new mistakes, and experience the effects of these mistakes and the wisdom and corresponding great talents that arise from them. And in doing so, their behavior becomes correspondingly more perfect and thus qualifies them to experience a correspondingly even more perfect and more brilliant flood of light in the form of the experience of paradise. And in this way, living beings, through being reborn on the physical plane, continue to evolve towards greater and greater perfection, and attain a correspondingly more radiant existence in paradise after each terrestrial life. In so doing, the being ultimately manages to get through all the zones and spheres of unpleasant terrors and thereby reaches its present spiral cycle's culmination of wisdom and love. It cannot therefore learn any more on the physical plane in this cycle, so reincarnation or rebirth ceases. And thus, after this, the being continues with the entire capacity of its cosmic consciousness, in a divine revelation of the manifestation of love in wisdom and high intellectual creation in the radiant abundance of spiritual matter, a theme we will return to later. Through this creation, the details of the spiritual worlds are fashioned in sparkling and shining substances. In this golden matter, everything appears in a culmination of love, wisdom, beauty and joy. Here daily life is the revelation and experience of God's primary consciousness in its purest form. Chapter 34, why all beings experience an individually adapted paradise, as the living beings on the physical plane are not equally far on in evolution and are thus on very different mental steps, and have very different abilities and talents. Their abilities to think and experience differ correspondingly and considerably. While all those beings who have gone through the epoch of reincarnation or rebirth, and have thereby come so far that they can experience true reality, the absolutely true solution to the mystery of life, and can therefore enjoy this reality's primary and absolute paradise. Those beings who are still more or less unfinished cannot perceive the true paradise as a divine, culminating experience of light. They can therefore experience paradise only in accordance with what they perceive to be the highest and happiest ideal of life experience. Imagine how divine this world order is. If it were not precisely so, all beings would have to wait until they had passed through the entire dark part of the spiral cycle as far as the epoch of the Great Birth before they could have any experience whatsoever of a paradise or real existence of light. Life thus exists according to such divine laws that all living beings without exception attain an absolutely radiant experience of paradise between every physical terrestrial life. This holds absolutely true for people of all races, all nations, all followers of every religion and every religious sect, just as much as it does for people who have no belief whatsoever in any life after death. It thus holds true for people of all views of life, it holds true for so-called criminals and all those who commit suicide, as well as for saints. No being whatsoever can fail to have an experience of paradise between its physical terrestrial lives, since the wavelengths through which the ideas or mental constructions that collide with its view of a highest ideal or dream existence cannot be manifested on the spiritual plane. For this reason, mental short circuits cannot arise here, which means the kinds of thoughts that find vent in anger, bitterness, envy, jealousy, unhappy love, hatred and feelings of revenge, intolerance or the like. Such mental constructions or states of mind are of such a low wavelength range that they cannot possibly be manifested in any being's experience of paradise. This side of the being's psychic nature is put out of action through the experiences of purgatory. Chapter 35: Why Paradise is a Culminating Experience of Light, and Purgatory is a Culminating Experience of Darkness. True paradise, separated as it is from the physical terrestrial life, can thus be experienced here in its purest form only after the beings have passed through purgatory. After this passage, they can experience nothing but their fundamental ideas of an ideal existence and that of others from the same wavelength range. Likewise, they cannot see the microcosmic and macrocosmic details, things and ideas that are not on the same wavelength as their other ideal notions about paradise. For this reason, the spiritual heaven and earth, the spiritual climate, indeed, the entire spiritual experience of nature or of macrocosmic creations, has the same wavelength range, the same luminous effect as the being's imagined paradise or dream existence or an atmosphere that fits 100% into it. The experience of paradise can thus be nothing but a culmination of the being's imagined dream existence. Because of this state, the beings in purgatory can experience only that part of the macrocosmic mental construction or those details or productions of nature that have the same dark and dismal wavelength range as their ideas of purgatory. But fortunately, the epoch of purgatory is such a concentrated and short-lived state that it can be described as but a kind of entrance or vestibule to the sphere of paradise. And, as previously mentioned, suffering occurs in this entrance only when the human being is in conflict with or creates a short circuit with its own ideal perception of the experience of life. Here, however, everyone is guaranteed help from guardian angels as soon as they feel unhappy and want help. Absolutely no being whatsoever, as also previously mentioned, will thus be deprived of its experience of paradise in the spiritual world between its physical terrestrial lives. Chapter 36: When the curses in the Bible turn out to be blessings for the human being. In reality, people live according to the principle expressed in the Bible as the curse of the ground because of sin, where, among other things, God said to Adam, "Because you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, just as God said to Eve, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children,' Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Here we do not need to explain in greater detail the overwhelming extent to which the fulfillment of this prophecy has controlled mankind in the past and has power over mankind in the present too. Sin, which means ignorance and mistakes in one's way of living and behaving, and the unpleasant or unfortunate effects that ensue from this, is, from a mental point of view, simply an element the human being swims in, as fish swim in water. That human beings hope and pray for a lighter and happier future, have dreams or ideas about an ideal existence that forms a contrast to their present dark and trouble-filled state of fate, is a matter of course. Throughout the world there is a prevalent hunger or longing for a contrast to the mental darkness, the mentally oppressive thought climate in which the strongest and the most clever exploit the weakest and less talented, and where a tolerable existence can sometimes be secured only through a deadly dangerous struggle with those in power who are inhumane and morally still very unfinished. It is thus absolutely natural that unfinished and therefore hard-pressed human beings have dreams about ideal existences in which they are freed from all the unfortunate phenomena that are detrimental to life or the curse of sin that the unfinished human being cannot be freed from on the physical plane. Since this biblical curse enables the human being to imagine a dream existence that becomes absolute reality on the spiritual plane every time it has passed through physical death, the curse here turns out to be a blessing. Chapter 37. The Epoch of Paradise as a Divine Revelation of Caresses for the Living Being. In its passage through the spiral cycle's culmination of darkness in accordance with universal love, which is the foundation for the continued existence of the whole universe, it would be glaringly unnatural if beings did not have the opportunity to experience the fulfillment of their dream existence or their hunger for an existence where they could undisturbedly enjoy the experience of life that was the very highest happiness and bliss for their present sensory capacity. We also see that no normal or natural hunger of any sort whatsoever for which there is no satiation can arise. We must of course disregard such artificially produced feelings of hunger as the hunger for drugs, alcohol, tobacco and the like. There is no satiation whatsoever for these kinds of hunger. The more beings consume these products, the more they will starve themselves to death, because the consumption of them can give them only an imagined satiation at the same time as they undermine the organism and thereby the ability to experience a normal life. But this is not the case with the longing or hunger for an ideal existence. It is 100% normal, and its satiation is therefore a corresponding vital necessity for the being's evolution or transformation into the human being in God's image, quite apart from it being a shining and warming revelation of caresses, by means of which the eternal Godhead embraces and encourages his unfinished Son, the living being, in the middle of his passage through the cosmic spiral cycle's culminating zones of darkness, spheres of suffering and terrains of death. Chapter 38. The World Where Dreams Are Reality. The being's paradise or the sunny regions and home of life. Since beings during their physical terrestrial lives live mostly in a world of darkness and must struggle with many difficult phenomena in order to be able to sustain their physical existence, this, as previously mentioned, gives rise to dreams of ideal existences in which they do not have to struggle with sufferings and difficulties, as they have to on the physical plane. These dreams are mental constructions in spiritual matter and cannot, as a rule, be experienced by the beings on the physical plane for the time being because they are not yet sufficiently developed to be able to meet the conditions for the realization of these dreams or dream existences on this plane. Here we see how divinely the universe's laws of life are formed in culminating wisdom and love, since the beings are granted intervals for rest during their connection to physical existence so that, during these intervals, they can be completely exempted from the difficulties, sufferings, worries and unrest of their physical fate, so that they can devote themselves entirely to their dreams, and experience them as realistic reality on the spiritual plane regardless of which step in evolution, which gifts and talents, what degree of logical thinking and creative ability they may have attained on the physical plane. Their dreams can be fashioned only out of the wishes and longings that constitute the absolute height of what they are able to think or perceive on the particular step in evolution they represent. But, as a rule, having such a dream or dream existence realized on the physical plane implies insurmountable obstacles for the beings in question, since physical matter does not automatically obey thought. It therefore most often costs both money and other people's cooperation or labor to have one's dream existence realized. This is why people live with unsatisfied longings and the disappointments, worries and difficulties these engender, making their fate or physical existence an unhappy one. Having their dream existence realized on the physical plane can therefore take a very long time. Such a long time, in fact, that several lives are sometimes needed before the obstacles are overcome and the being can experience physically the realization of its dream existence. But this being so, it is divine that people can experience their dream existence on the spiritual plane long before they can experience it on the physical plane. And this is what happens when the being dies, leaving its physical existence, and is liberated from its physical organism. After this, it is relieved of having to juggle with heavy physical matter, which was previously a vital necessity. It will now experience and create only in spiritual matter, which on the contrary obeys thought. Here the being can therefore experience everything it is able to imagine on the step to which it belongs. And since it has been freed in purgatory from that part of its set of senses through which disappointments, sorrows, anxieties, jealousy, depression, bitterness and anger or, in brief, all low spirits or bad-temperedness can be experienced, it can experience only joy or elation on the spiritual plane, since everything here succeeds for it according to its slightest wish. And since the whole of this sphere is populated only by beings of the same wavelength range, which means, beings that are likewise freed from dark and dismal kinds of thought, existence here is thus a life among loving friends in light and joy. And the being therefore experiences here a world where its dream is reality, paradise or the sunny regions and home of life. Chapter 39 The Artist's Paradise. We will here provide a few examples of what it means when, without any outrades or tools, matter automatically takes form in accordance with the mental concentration, wish and will of the living being, as it does on the spiritual plane of existence. By virtue of this divine state, an architect can build as many country residences or other large-scale buildings as he wants. Here he is not burdened by having to earn a living by means of his artistic training and talents. There are no means of earning a living here. No one on the spiritual plane has to earn money or work in order to sustain his daily life. Here life is an absolute dream existence for everyone, and the beings manifest absolutely only what they themselves want to manifest. They can experience only those things in their surroundings and those manifestations of their fellow beings that will please and delight them. The sensory transformation they underwent in the epoch of purgatory prevents them from getting onto the same wavelength as anything that does not have this effect. For this reason, absolutely no darkness whatsoever can arise here. When an architect wants to create a building on the spiritual plane, he does not need to have a number of associates, craftsmen and laborers in order to carry out his plan, as is the case on the physical plane. He has likewise no problems of any kind with materials, since spiritual matter, which is in itself unmanifested and present everywhere but which, through the power of thought, materializes and takes form in accordance with the living being's wish and will, manifests itself here too. Thus the architect has in his power the ability to obtain sufficient material for his projects, if he at all wants to build them stone by stone and does not immediately imagine them completely finished without any preceding construction work, this being also in his power. Here he can thus create all the dream projects that may have been impossible for him to build on the physical plane because of many and various obstacles. Regarding other artists, they will likewise, by the mere power of thought, be able to create the most splendid landscapes, portraits, imaginary figures or works of art in many different directions. These works of art differ from works of art on the physical plane in that they appear to be alive, to the extent to which their originator has been able to imagine them and animate them with his own life. Here the most elevated and perfect artistic representation of a landscape will not take the form of a picture painted on canvas. It will, on the contrary, be in its natural state and extend for kilometers, with forests, lakes, fields, sky, sea and land, with towns, people, animals and so on, all according to the talents and the ability to concentrate his wishes and thoughts that the artist has acquired during his evolution through his physical terrestrial lives. While such a work of art on the physical plane would be only a relatively miniature picture painted on canvas or the like with immovable details, it is, however, on the spiritual plane a complete realization of the artist's dream, depending on how much he has developed towards the stage of genius. He can thus inject his own energy or life force into his work of art. Swans would swim on the lake. Lovely white summer clouds would float across the sky. The forest would ring with birdsong and other sounds that belong there. The summer breeze would rustle the treetops, and the waves of the ocean would roll softly in towards a lovely white beach where people would tumble in the blue-green swell. And over the entire scene the sun would cast its all-enlivening and warming heavenly light. The whole vision would be born and sustained completely by the artist's mental talents, concentration, wish and will. The artist can, of course, within the scope of his particular talents, his abilities to think and create on the spiritual plane, also imagine quite another motif. And as thinking here is the same as direct creation in matter, this work of art will emerge as a new radiant vision for himself and his admiring fellow beings on this plane. This work of art can be a representation of a storm. Black clouds penetrated by flashing lightning will then cover the sky. Rumbling thunder and the shouts, cries and other sounds that belong to such a situation are heard through the storm. With his mental concentration and talents, he can also create the most beautiful and most radiant landscapes in the fiery glow of sunrise and sunset, just as he can create silvery moonlit landscapes and other landscapes as radiant, living visions. If the same artistic genius's creations on the spiritual plane are figures of people and animals, they will likewise appear to be quite natural and alive. The figures of people can talk, sing, laugh and cry just as the animal figures can run, jump and draw in accordance with the artist's talents, wish and will. Chapter 40 The Unfinished Human Being's Dream Existence or Paradise. Even if one has not advanced as far in evolution as to have become a genius at being able to think artistically and produce spiritual works of art like those mentioned above, this does not prevent one being able to have one's dream existence in quite other fields. We have mentioned the above examples only in order to show how perfect ingenious works of art can be on the spiritual plane. Thus all human beings, from the first frail, primitive forms in evolution right up to the finished human being in God's image, experience the realization of their most beautiful dreams on the spiritual plane. This holds true for the primitive people of the primordial forest as well as for civilization's highly gifted people, researchers and scientists. Whether one is a religious believer or the opposite is totally immaterial, since this cannot prevent one from having a dream or longing to experience an ideal existence. One cannot possibly avoid experiencing this beyond physical death, since here matter automatically takes form in accordance with one's thought, wish and will. The pygmy thus experiences that his primitive dreams take the form or along the lines of how he learned to think on the physical plane. The same is true of the Indian, the Eskimo, the Fujian. Indeed, in brief, of individuals of any race whatsoever. They all experience precisely that which was their highest dream existence on the physical plane of existence, but which, because of insufficient development and perhaps other circumstances, they could not possibly experience on this plane. Thus the poor human being that perhaps starves, freezes and lives in rags on the physical plane experiences on the spiritual plane the realization of its dream, arising from its physical condition, of a contrasting existence where it has plenty of delicious food, good, warm clothes to wear, a beautiful house to live in and a plentiful supply of money. In the same way a skinflint or miser will receive oceans upon oceans of money on the spiritual plane in accordance with the unsatisfied longing for the fulfillment of the desire for money that he had on the physical plane, and in accordance with the dream that this longing gave rise to. On the spiritual plane too, anglers and hunters experience lovely countryside in which they can satisfy their desire.